Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
You know, this weekend I had the chance to share at a funeral. And a good buddy of mine over many, many, many years, Bob Young, passed away. He's an elderly gentleman at this time. He lived a pretty good long life. But we had a chance to visit at a memorial service at his home with his beautiful wife, Dottie. Just precious, precious people. And, you know, got to thinking about the finality of life. Mm-hmm. You know, the finality of life. Bob was a great guy. In fact, he was a great encourager. Him and a bunch of other guys, we used to meet for about 2 or 3 years in a small men's group.
Oh, wow.
And we had such an amazing diversity in that small men's group.
Yeah,
Mm-hmm. Not only were there just a wide range of ages. I mean, you had young men in their 20s, older men, seniors, mm-hmm. Different socioeconomic backgrounds. Me and the young guys were broke at the time. You know, these guys were, I guess, well off and, you know, doing well. And you have all these different races. Mm-hmm. There was an Iranian person there, a couple Hispanic guys, you know, Caucasian and African American. And it was just this beautiful melting
pot. Melting pot. Right.
Yeah. And the thing that brought us together, the thing that just made us one, and all that other stuff that separates the world, you know, that categorizes and put people in a box, didn't mean anything to us, because mm-hmm. what brought us together was Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. You know, was the love of God and our quest, our journey to know Him more and to know Him better, and to do what He wanted us to do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so Bob was a part of that group, and every Monday night, about 2 or 3 years, we met in an office building in a conference room, mm-hmm. and man, we had some stories. It was awesome. We all started out pretty much as acquaintances, mm-hmm. but as we gathered and kept gathering and meeting and kept meeting and sharing and getting, you know, closer and closer, we went from acquaintances to friends, mm-hmm. you know, and, wow. and we could eventually call each other, hey, this is my friend, you mm-hmm. know. You know anything about men, you know, they don't have 10,000 friends. You have a few friends in life.
Right.
And which is good. You really don't have a few friends in life, period, whether you're a man or not. You know, a lot of people are just acquaintances. But these guys were friends, and the more we kept meeting, the more we kept growing in God, the more we kept kind of praying for each other and carrying each other's burdens and just kind of being there, you mm-hmm. know, real, authentic, we really became brothers.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we really became brothers. And so much to the point that we went on actually two trips together, two man God trips, man quest trips, mm-hmm. God questing trips, if you will. One time we went to Birmingham to a Promise Keepers event.
Oh, was that the one with rain?
Yeah,
oh
yeah, you were there too.
I remember that one, yeah.
Yeah, I think it was like 30,000 men there.
Yeah, in the rain, standing in the rain.
In the
worshiping
rain.
God.
Wow. I mean, sopping wet. And that's one thing of when men come together and seek God, man, it's just so refreshing. It didn't stop none of the men. Some of us went out there and got some rain suits and stand in the puddle and just whatever, you know, yeah. But it was so worth it. And those guys, we all went together, and I remember staying in a hotel, and all these guys start gathering, and it was just a bunch of fun. Mm-hmm. But we were all there because we wanted to pursue godly relationship. Mm-hmm. with other men, and we wanted God. We wanted to do what God called us to do as men. And then another trip we went on was to Washington, D.C., when we went to Promise Keepers rallied 1 million men to the nation's capital to actually pray and repent. And that was an absolutely amazing. Our entire group went, I know, mm-hmm. You and Greg went as well.
Oh, yeah. And our group went.
Yeah. Yeah, your group went up there. And the reason, by the way, the reason that I was way back in that picture.
I remember that picture.
You forgot your alarm
clock. By the Washington,
Washington Monument.
Monument.
No, just to make sure, you were just slightly behind Greg and Pat.
No.
In that crowd. Just a couple people.
It hasn't been verified.
Yeah, by a couple of football fields.
It hasn't been verified how close they were. That hasn't been verified yet. We know where I was, but I was staying.
Oh, we have evidence.
I was staying with my group.
We have evidence.
Okay, I was staying with my group, you know, and I didn't want to rush out, and, you know, because I'm an early riser, but I want to stay with my group. They were getting some meals together and all that type of stuff. And so, you know, I just want to make sure that we clarified that. But anyhow, moving forward. We went out there to D.C. and, again, another tremendous bonding moment because we were there to repent, there to pray. I'll never forget it. Kind of just a significant moment in my life and our guys' lives too. But I remember when there was a time where there was no speaking. They had speakers coming in and just rallying and charging and just sharing. And the president, Clinton at the time, flew over in a helicopter. Mm-hmm. It was a period in time where we didn't say a word, and it was just the time to be quiet and reverent before the Lord. And I'm telling you, you could hear a pin drop amongst 1 million men. Mm. When you talk about a holy moment, when you talk about a reverential time, I don't think nobody moved. Nobody moved. You saw men that got in position. They were face down. There were some of them were sitting there. Some of them were quiet, and they just prayed. I was just reflecting on all of this as I was preparing for his memorial service, and Dottie asked me to share some, you know, a few words, and. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you, you know, it got me to thinking about the finality of life. You know, last week we talked about how failure is not final, but, you know, your life on this earth is final. There is some finality in the world.
That's right.
And death in this life is definitely final. And so it's a sobering thought to think about that every moment. You're getting closer and closer and closer to that finality. And on my way there, I had a chance to talk with my boys about Bob and just about passing and all these different things that you think about and you just talk about. And it was just a really interesting conversation because we just had a chance to reflect on, you know, what does that make you think? What do you think about? Because we're all going to pass away. We're all going to pass away, and there's seasons in life. And Ecclesiastes 3 tells us that there's a time for everything under the sun. There's a time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant, a time to uproot, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to tear down, and a time to build, a time to weep, and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones and a time to gather them. A time to embrace and a time to refrain. A time to search and a time to give up. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to mend. A time to be silent and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate, a time for war, and a time for peace. There's a time, there's a season for everything in life.
Right.
And the question is, you know, understanding what season that we're in.
Yeah. You got to pay attention to the signs.
Mm-hmm. You think about, like, nothing in this life is guaranteed, and so often so many don't want to acknowledge that reality, just like, this life, you know, what we do in this life matters.
Yeah,
and what we're and who we're doing it for matters.
It certainly does. It certainly does. It matters what happens. It matters what we do, and to think that, listen, once it's over with, it's done. I mean, regret. We've talked about this on VFN Radio, but regret's such a horrible word because it signifies that we had an opportunity to do something. But we didn't do it. We didn't take advantage. We didn't seize the moment.
Right.
And, you know, we've often said you have to seize the opportunity of a lifetime in the lifetime of that opportunity. But there's nothing like missing the chance. There's nothing like missing that moment. And your life, the Bible says, is but a vapor.
That's right.
And then it's done. It's finished.
And there's nothing worse than that moment. It's like when you're in that moment of regret, when you're looking back and what you thought was important, validating, not doing what you should have been doing, when you're in that moment of regret, it's just like, it really wasn't that important as an excuse. I could have done that. I should have done that.
Yeah.
And we can avoid those moments of regret just by doing what we're called to do, what we should do today.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Exactly. So I'm there at the memorial service, and Donnie pulls me over to a stand where there's some pictures of Bob, and she pulls out his Bible.
Uh-huh.
And it's his Bible with a big old rubber band around it, because mm-hmm. it was holding all together, all of his papers and notes and all these different things. And then she pulls out this orange handkerchief. She pulls out this orange handkerchief, and I just about lost it.
Oh, wow.
I just about lost it. Because 16 years ago, I was in Bible college, and this great missionary came to speak to us, David Hogan. And this missionary's been in the hills of and mountains of Mexico, uncharted territory where you need mega trucks to get into, not even paved roads to go
mm-hmm.
there.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's been, him and his whole ministry, I believe his Freedom Ministry, has been up there, and they've been preaching the gospel to Mexican Indians, and they've planted, I mean, so hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of churches up there in the mountains. And this guy's like, you know, I don't even know how to describe him. He's the one that says, I'm not out of my mind. I'm out of your mind.
Yeah, right. I remember that.
He is on fire, fireball, serious, and just, this is, I mean, this talk about spiritual warfare. This guy faces it, you know, front end. And they've seen all kinds of miraculous healings in his ministry. He's refused all sort of cameras and also folks to document it. Just very humble man. And he came and prayed for us, and he had these handkerchiefs. You know, Paul prayed for aprons and handkerchiefs for people to be healed.
Yeah.
And he prayed for all these handkerchiefs, and I got this orange bandana for fuego, for fire of God, and he prayed over it.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was something that I would just hold on to forever. And not too long after that, I got a call from Dottie that Bob had some major heart problems, and he was in the hospital. So we ran up there, our friends, our brothers that were in the group, and went up there to pray for him, and I had the handkerchief with me. And I just felt led of the Lord just to get, he had to go into surgery. I prayed for him, and I put this in his hand. And we left him there and said, listen, we'll be waiting for you. So you'll be back. You'll come out.
Yeah.
And he made it. He was out of that.
Praise God.
Praise God.
And I didn't know whatever happened to this thing. I didn't know where it was. And she told me, she said, Bob had this in his Bible every single day since you gave it to him.
Wow.
And she goes, I want you to have it.
Oh my gosh.
I said, oh my goodness. I actually thought about this, you know, but I thought, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No telling where, you know, no telling where it's at.
Yeah.
And she pulled it out. And like I said, I almost lost it, but just powerful moments in God. Yeah. You know what I mean? Mm. You just can't take anything for granted. You can't take any kind gesture. You can't take any moment praying. You can't take anything for granted because it affects people.
Mm-hmm.
It affects people. And it's just a powerful, powerful time. But let me tell you something. Death is final.
Yeah.
Death is final, and you want to run your race well. You know, we're on a race.
That's right.
We're on a race with God, and you want to run that race well, and you want to know that when it's all said and done, when it's all over, that, listen, you're going to hear those words from Jesus. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Right. Come in. Come in. You want to hear those words, but there's something that separates us from that. There's just a gospel that's being preached that, you know, I like to call it the 2.0 gospel. It's the upgrade gospel. It's the accept Jesus for a better life, but not the source of life, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And, you know, 25 reasons to be a better you, but it's like, come on now. Jesus didn't save us to be a better you. He saved us, and the topic that's not talked about often, but it's sin. Sin is what separates us from God. Sin is anything that Jesus wouldn't do. And the Bible is very clear in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God. That means every single person.
That's right.
Every person that you have seen. Every person has sinned. Has sinned, which means that they have something in their life. They've done something, thought something that has separated them from the love of, not the love of Christ, but separated them from Christ.
Mm-hmm.
It separates, right? And so Proverbs 29 says, who can say I've kept myself pure? I am clean without sin. Who is that person? Who is that man? Who is that woman? Let me tell you, the only person who could ever say that is Jesus Christ himself.
That's
who
right.
walked 30-some-odd years on this earth, was tempted in every way to identify and empathize with us, yet he himself did not sin. But you know, each one of us, according to Hebrews, have two appointments. We have an appointment with death, and we have an appointment to face God. We have those. Listen, there's a lot of appointments on your day. Maybe you have a planner, you have your cell phone, you have a notebook, and you write down all your appointments, and you have alarm clocks, and some you make and some you miss. But let me tell you, these are two appointments that you will not miss, guaranteed.
Guaranteed.
That's a little Bob for you. Guaranteed. Two appointments.
Mm-hmm.
One is death, and one you're going to face Jesus Christ. And you're going to have this opportunity. Let me tell you something. You don't want to start talking to Jesus under those type of conditions. In fact, I don't know how much conversation you're going to have at that moment.
Right.
You know what I mean? I don't know what kind of conversation, but you want to know. You want to know that you've dealt with the sin issue. And here's the thing about sin. The Bible says that there is a cost associated with sin. It's not just sin and no big deal. This is just human nature. I can do what I want. YOLO, you only live once. No. Yeah you're right. You only live once. Mm-hmm. So you better live, live
better
life.
Right.
Live the right way. You're right. You only live once on this earth. Absolutely. So it doesn't mean that we throw reckless, you know, throw carelessness off of us and we just do anything we want to do, and because we only live once, it means that we measure what we do, our heart's in the right place, because we only pass through here once. But sin has a price tag. The Bible says that the wages, the cost of sin equals death. Death across so many boards. Death in relationships, separation from God. Listen, sin can help your physical death.
That's right.
There is a price tag when you think about it. Think about all the heartache. Think about all the chaos. Think about all the destruction. Think about all the hurt and all the pain in this world. Think about all the things that people suffer. Can I tell you that you can do a little trace back and you can see there's a result either of their sin or someone else's sin? People talk about all the problems in the world. Save the whales. Save the trees. Save the ocean. Uh-huh. Save the green plant. Say, listen. We need a save souls movement here. You know what I mean? We this is what matters. This is what matters at the end of the day. And this is what I shared at this memorial service. You're only going to have two regrets when it's all over. Just two. Just two. I wish I've done more for my family because I'm getting ready to leave them. And I wish I knew God because I'm getting ready to see him. Friend, this message never gets old. This message should never get tired. We will see Jesus. Jesus is coming back. He's coming back, and he can come back at any moment. The question is, are we going to be ready? Are we going to be ready? Are we going to be able to share with others? Are we going to tell people? Do we have the urgency in our heart? Let me tell you something. Time is short. Look what's happening around the world. Four blood moons. Israel. Signs of the times. The economy. We're going to talk in a little while, too, about what's going on with the crops. I mean, this is, we're living in a time and an age of prophetic fulfillment.
Yeah.
And we cannot afford to keep our eyes closed, our mouths silent, and our ears stopped up. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
We cannot afford that. And we cannot afford to share this glorious hope and to tell people the truth. To be absolutely authentic and tell them, listen, this is the real deal. I wish I could tell you something else. You know, the Bible says that in the last days, people have itching ears. They want to, they have certain things that they want to hear. You can't do that. They want to, as Steve Hill would say, a sugar sweet gospel. Just give me some sugar. Listen, it's not all about the sugar. We've got so much sugar poured out right now in America. So much bless me scriptures.
Prosperity gospel.
You know, is your refrigerator filled with just bless me scriptures?
Yeah.
Bless me scriptures? I mean, that's cool and everything. What about the heart of God? What about the heart of God? And here's the deal. We're all going to appear before him, and that's why he gave us his son. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever would believe in him would have eternal life. Let me tell you something. God made a way. Our sin, my sin, your sin, it'll separate us from God. Let me tell you, your sin will damn your soul to hell. Hell is real.
Yeah.
Hell is real. But let me tell you, you can find forgiveness. You can find healing. You can find love. You can find everything that you need in your life in God. And it's just a byproduct. We don't get right with God so that we can have a good life. We just get right with God because that's what we're supposed to do.
Yeah.
That's what we need to do. The byproduct and the blessing is that, you know what, when you make Jesus the Lord of your life and he comes to take over, then you're just going to be blessed.
That's right.
You're just going to be blessed, but we don't do that to be blessed.
Mm-mm.
And so it's so important. And so important. Let me tell you, the time is short. The time is short. And you need to live like Jesus can come back at any moment. What powerful men of God said that I resolved never to do anything which I'd be ashamed to do. Well, it was Jonathan Edwards. If it was the last hour of my life. Mm. We need the fear of the Lord again. We need to understand that Jesus is holy. He's coming back for a spotless church without stain or wrinkle. And in is in and out is out. Listen, close is not in. Mm. Close is not in. Mm-hmm. I've heard that before. You know, I'm getting close. Getting close to what? You can be an inch away from the target, but you're still out.
Yeah.
And you're going to suffer the same loss that someone is 1,000 miles, 100,000 miles away. The guy that's an inch away and the guy that's 1,000,000 miles away are still going to suffer outside. The same loss, same consequences. But you got to be in.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You got to be in. In order for you to be in, you got to open your heart wide. You need to be humble. You need to come to the end of yourself. You need to acknowledge if you sinned against the holy God and that you're nothing without him. Oftentimes, I've heard people say that, well, I'm just trying to get right and I need to go to church and I just need to listen. Hear us today. It's not about doing all these things to make yourself worthy before God because we couldn't clean ourselves up. You know, oftentimes we fall into a trap thinking that we got to dress this thing up for God and do the right thing for God, and then I will just kind of, you know, change my behavior. Listen, God's not into, outward God, change behavior modification.
God is the right thing.
Yes.
You know, you think about it, it's just like if there was a storm going outside and it's, you know, 15 below and you're running to get home and there's a nice fire going on inside the house. And it's just like, I'm kind of outside. I'm kind of close to the door. And it's just like, either you're outside or you're in. And that's the exact same thing. Jesus wants you to be in his kingdom. It's not like, well, I'm close. I'm there. Mm-hmm. You're either in or you're out. There is no gray area.
That's right. And so you have an opportunity. You have an opportunity. And don't forget, if you're a believer today and you know God, don't keep what God's done in your life silent.
Mm-hmm.
Share with your family. Share with your friends. Share with your neighbors. Because let me tell you something. A day is coming. A day is coming like a day came for Bob. And before you know it, everything that's... There's two dates on a tombstone. The day that you're born and the day that you pass. And there's a dash in between those two dates.
Right.
And
right.
That dash, that little dash represents your entire life. The question is, where are you in the dash?
Mm.
Are you in the middle of the dash? Are you in the beginning of the dash? Or are you at the very tail end of the dash and you don't even know it? Let me tell you something, friend. God loves you. He has an amazing plan for your life. But you got to get real with God. You got to come to the end of yourself. You got to humble yourself and say, God, I've sinned against you. Forgive me. Forgive me for what I've done to you, what I've done to others, how I've hurt you, how I've hurt others. Save me, Jesus, and come into my heart. Be my very best friend. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Be my boss. Be the King of my life. Be my Savior. And I'll tell you, friend, if you pray that with all of your heart, with all the sincerity, nothing magically is going to change to your physical body. Nothing's going to, you're not going to grow taller. I tried, you know, you're not going to lose weight. None of that stuff's going to happen. But what's going to happen is that you're going to be born again. Your spirit's going to be born again, and your spirit is going to be able to connect with God, and everything is going to change. Everything's going to change in your life. But it all starts with you taking this right step. It all starts with you acknowledging and being real. Listen, God sees everything.
Yeah.
Nothing is hidden from God. He knows your thoughts before you even think them. And he knows the words you're about to say. He knows why you said what you said. You can't play God. Mm-mm. You can't play him. Be real. Be real. And we talked about the most powerful prayer that you can ever pray, and it's, God, reveal yourself to me. Reveal yourself to me. But let me tell you, God's been revealing himself to you more and more and more each and every day. You don't need him to part the heavens, and you don't need him to walk on water, and you don't need him to walk in the room. Just open your eyes. Look at your body. The Bible says you're fearfully and wonderfully made. Look at yourself. Look at your, and say, only God can put this body together.
That's right.
Look up and look at the stars in the sky. Look at the clouds. Look at the grass. Look at the birds. Creation speaks of the greatness of our God, the awesomeness of him.
Yeah.
Acknowledge him. The Bible says, acknowledge him in all your ways. It's time. It's time. It's time. Death on this earth is final. But if you make the right decision before the final bell rings, before the last call, if you make that decision to make Jesus Lord, then you will have life, life for eternity with him. My goodness, Jesus is wonderful and beautiful. Make him the Lord of your life today. Believe you me, you're going to get the better deal in this whole thing.
Oh, yeah.
That's the truth.
And he'll change your life forever. I'll never forget, I read this book once, and the author asked this question. I don't remember much about the entire book. I was in college at the time. And he says, in the book, what is one thing that if you started doing every single day for the rest of your life, what's the one thing that will change your life? And that one sentence just exploded with inside of me. I go, whoa. I was in my 20s. That's powerful. That's deep. And I go, what's the one thing that if I just started doing every single day would change my life? I got thinking. I said, I wasn't a Christian at the time. I said, I bet if I read my Bible every day, I bet you that would change my life. And that was the beginning.
Wow.
That was the beginning. One little statement. Let me tell you something. We have a simple plan for you. You can get that at iabide.org. It's free. Doesn't cost you a thing. And you will learn how to hear God's voice, connect with God, and write down what he's telling you and have a relationship with the Lord. I'm telling you, if you allow God's word to get on the inside of you, it'll change your life because he is the word.
It is amazing how this is all working. It's people just like you, friends like you, that stand with us and understand, you know, we've got to make a difference in our generation. that stand with us prayerfully and financially, to just partner on a monthly basis, to financially build a foundation that where we can carry this message not only to the nation of America, but to the nations of the world. It's amazing how so many people are being encouraged by a simple gift of a few dollars a month, $25 a month, $50 a month, whatever it is. And you know what? Together, if you're having difficulty in how to present the gospel to this generation, partner with us, and we together at VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program will bring the gospel to this nation, and this nation, by God's grace, to the Lord. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. VFNTV.com and click on giving. You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Don't forget to share it with your friends. Find out more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio Program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with your mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.